Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today, but we got a packed program as always. I mean, I got a little tiny bit of good news, but oh my gosh, let's just get rolling because there's a lot to cover here. And this is going to be kind of a lightning round kind of a thing. I think that's what they call it, where you just kind of blitzkrieg through some pieces I got to get to. Some good news. Inflation is flat right now. How long that'll last, I don't know. But that's the news that just came out here. Inflation is flat, even though the left is still trying to talk about the price of eggs, even though eggs are coming down. Goodness sakes, I have two people that are growing. I mean, they got chickens. They are free-range chickens. I get great eggs, fabulous eggs, big eggs for... one's $3.50, another is $4 a dozen, or $5 for a dozen and a half. That makes it $3.33 a dozen. They're fine. They say their price of feed's coming down. Like, the left just doesn't have anything to talk about unless it's something, you know, to bash Trump. And then as soon as that thing goes away, then they just pick up on something else. But that we've come to expect. Next piece of good news, RFK Jr., quote, "The era of poisonous compounds in our food is coming to an end." Now, that is simultaneous with his announcement there. We have two other things that came out here, and one is that ultra-processed foods are tied to 124,000 premature deaths in only the U.S. and only in the last 2 years. 124,000. And I'm looking at the picture in this thing, and it's all Cheerios and Cheetos and all whatnot, a bunch of crappy cereals, but there's all, whether it's Pop-Tarts. I found a box in our cupboard that must be about 5 or 6 years old. I think I got them for a grandchild. Those suckers are going in the trash. I'm not going to eat them. I wouldn't eat them anyway, and I'm not going to let my grandkids eat them. Sugar, dyes that are unnatural, preservatives, some of which come from China. 124,000 premature deaths in just 2 years. So let's, you know what? Let's just do the math here. I got my calculator out. 124,000 deaths divided by 24. That means there are 29,000. I'm sorry, that's not correct. Let me try that one again. 124,000 divided by 24 months. That means there is 5,167 premature deaths every single month from ultra-processed foods. 5,167, which, of course, divided by 30, means there's 172 ultra-processed food-related premature deaths in the U.S., 172 every single day. And now I see PepsiCo comes out and says, well, you know what? We've decided that we're going to stop using artificial dyes. And pat us on the back because we're going to do it ahead of the deadline that RFK Jr. set. Oh, yeah. And another one, I can't even think who it was, that said, it's really time for the world to be focusing on healthier food. Then why aren't you, you slobs? Because you're in it for the money. Money, money, money. That's what it is. Goodness sakes. Now for the lawsuits. Yeah, baby, bring them on. I don't care how much Post and General Mills pay in lawsuits. I don't eat any of their garbage. I don't like it. I haven't in a long time. It's just stuck on sugar. Well, anyway, so we have the left has a new strategy, and it's called, well, it's not a new strategy, but it's now their only strategy. Let me put it that way. And it's called revenge. The revenge strategy. So we got Ilhan Omar, that knucklehead from Somalia, said we are going to have a nonstop oversight. Once, if we get the majority, we are going to hold nonstop oversight hearings regarding what this administration is doing and carrying out investigations into the corruption. None of that has anything to do with the concerns of the people, the needs of the people, of you and me, and what we expect from a government. It's just purely revenge against Trump. They don't give a rat's rear end, ultimately, about the voter, except for the stooges that they can cajole into voting for him. That's part of the strategy. And the other thing, strategy is they want to bring back all the illegals. I saw that sign here that bring back Garcia. It said bring Garcia back home. What morons? Garcia is home. He's from El Salvador. That's where he is. That's where he belongs. But their strategy here, I mean, they're, as one writer says, these people are, quote, fixated on Trump rather than actually developing solutions. Right? Said the Democrats, this one, let me see who this gal is, Smith, Tina Smith, senator from Minnesota, from a loser state, so what do you expect? Said, we are going to be suing all these authorities and holding Trump appointees in contempt of Congress. Well, yeah, it's blah, blah, blah. That's when we secede and we just leave you naked on the northern frontier, Minnesota, with nobody around you that likes you. The people from Iowa don't like you. The people from Canada don't like you. The people from North and South Dakota don't like you. Get used to it. As one writer says, they're not merely wrong, but they're evil and they're tyrannical. Then they justify any means to defeat anyone who opposes what they want. The language they use is meant to dehumanize their opponents and provide moral permission for violence. So you got this J.B. Pritzker, who is the governor of Illinois, and I don't know what the JB stands for. Just a blob, probably. The guy is fat like a hippopotamus. But anyway, he's calling for mass protests. He said, never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, or for disruption, but I'm calling for it now. It's calling for disruption. Well, you got two assassination attempts already, JB, on Donald Trump. I mean, Pritzker is just, well, I'm more on him in a minute. Because you got the thing like Maxine Waters, who, she had that press conference just outside Maxine's house. I guess you'd call that Maxi pad. Anyway, calling for protesters to be confrontational, to follow her demand and harass Trump administration members. She said, quote, let's make sure that we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them that they're not welcome anymore anywhere. Well, this is interesting, Nimrodic Maxine, that are you too stupid to know that you can't go around and kick people out of someone else's property? She's saying, you know, kick them out of the restaurant, the department store, the gas station. You don't own any of those, Maxine. You don't go into somebody else's property and kick the people that are there, the invited guests, called legally the invitees. That's what a shopper is. Legally, it's called an invitee. They are invited into that place of commerce to do business. And Maxine, the moron, thinks that apparently you can just go kick people out of some place that, Maxine, you don't own. But you aren't smart enough to realize that. You got Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, what, a couple of years ago, threatened Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. Quote, "You've released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you." And then you've got Joey No Brains Corn Pop Biden on that call, a private call to a bunch of donors, where he said, quote, "It's time to put Trump in the bullseye," end quote. You got Rep. Dan Goldman, of course he's a Democrat from New York, said Trump, quote, "has to be eliminated," end quote. The Federalist, quoting here, documented this rhetoric as part of a broader pattern of political conditioning. The language primes support for confrontation and in the minds of the most unstable legitimizes violence. You got Delegate Stacey Plaskett, the Democrat representing, of course, as a Democrat, U.S. Virgin Islands, said of Trump, quote, "he needs to be shot." And, of course, you got the others. "I'd like to punch him in the face. If I were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym." Joe Biden, "if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him." That's Joe Biden. Well, why is it any surprise that somebody tries to assassinate him? That's what they want. They get as close to a call for assassination as possible, but then drape it in some sort of moral covering to shield themselves from being arrested. Here's another one. "When was the last time an actor assassinated a president? They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. That's a fact," end quote. Another one, "where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?" Another one, "I thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House," end quote. And you get to Kamala Harris, the cackling hyena from California, who said, "it's on us to recognize the threat that Trump poses. But does one of us have to come out alive? Ha, 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 ha." Laughing afterwards. Does one of us have to come out alive? Why isn't she arrested? What is her stupid tush thrown in jail? My goodness, I don't want to read any more of that. But getting back to J.B. Just a Blob Pritzker, the Illinois governor, a billionaire, and his comments. Let me read these in their entirety, so you understand. This is a governor of one of the biggest states in this country. The Federalist quotes him at a Democrat assembly meeting stating, quote, "never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption. But I am now. These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on a soapbox, and then punish them at the ballot box." Then he chided his own do-nothing Democrat allies. These people who want to blame our losses on our defense of black people or trans kids or immigrants. Well, no defense is necessary for black people, JB, you little huckster, you. Why? Because a record number of blacks voted for Trump. That doesn't seem like there's any defense needed for them. What, defense to keep them from voting for Trump? Or tranny kids are screwed up by a bunch of screwed up teachers and screwed up doctors who make a ton of money out of genital mutilation? That's wrong for them to support that, but it's even more wrong for us, apparently, to attack those who make a bunch of bucks for mutilating young kids and ruining their lives. Quote, "we will never join so many Republicans in the special place in hell reserved for quislings and cowards. We will relegate their portraits to the museum halls reserved for tyrants and traitors." That's right. He says there's a special place in hell for us. JB, just a blob, why don't you go look in the mirror? And you might get a little glimpse of who's heading south. The Federalist went on to say, quote, and I want to quote them, this language is all too familiar and can only be described as assassination prep, carefully cloaked in moral outrage, designed to incite the most egregious acts of political violence. Pritzker's words follow the same formula of other leftists. Frame the political opposition as evil, and then you can just justify anything you want after that. But he didn't stop there. He went on to state that the state of Illinois is going to fight the president, and they're going to fight El Salvador for not turning the MS-13 gangbanger over back to us. You're going to fight El Salvador. We're going to boycott El Salvador. Well, I am making a call here today. It is time to boycott Illinois. Forget them. Boycott the state of Illinois. Now, I've got a couple of farmer friends there that I really like. They don't sell retail. They don't sell in a manner where a boycott of the state at some level would hurt them. But but like Democrats all over, they have to be slapped and spanked hard in the fanny to ever come to any level of common sense. Because where are their brains? Well, their brains are in their fanny. That's why that's where they got to be slapped. Okay, you think it's done with Illinois and these other states? Let's try Colorado here. This is unbelievable. The bill in the Senate, House Bill 1312. And what it does is that those parents who exercise what they call coercive control over their children who want to transition. In other words, those children who ignorantly and foolishly and because of the immaturity of their age want to destroy their bodies, thinking that they're doing the right thing, which a great number regret, and a great number actually commit suicide after they transition, not before. Of course, you can't transition after you've committed suicide, right? Although you will have transitioned in one way once you're dead. That's true. But it says, according to the bill, HB 1312, coercive control includes dead naming and misgendering. And what happens if you misgender your kids? If you call your son by his name, his given name, that's called dead naming. It involves referring to an individual who claims to be a tranny by the name that that person has rejected rather than the new name that he or she has chosen. It's called dead name. Your old name is dead, but you call it to be alive by calling John John instead of Susie Q. If you do that, according to this bill, you dead name or you misgender your own children, they consider that a non-provision of the gender-affirming health care service, and the state can take your child. That's right. The state can take your child. I mean, it was sponsored by a Democrat, of course, just another emissary from the pits of hell, Yara Zokaya. She compared the parental rights groups that are protesting this to being the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, is this all the left has? You're either a Nazi, you're Hitler, or you're the Klan. That's all they got. Well, let me tell you something. How many words are actually in the left-wing vocabulary? You know, I mean, it's really very few. What's in their vocabulary? Islamophobia, homophobia, gender-affirming care, LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ, climate change deniers. What are we up to, about 11? And when they have exhausted their full 10 or 11-word vocabulary, in come the F-bombs. They just start swearing like drunken sailors. And this Yara Zokai, or whatever the heck her name is, I mean, it's down to, you're either Hitler or you're part of the Klan if you don't go along with the left-wing mentality. I wore my T-shirt that I haven't worn for about a year the other day. It says, generally speaking, Democrats suck. I didn't get any pushback. I'm not looking for pats on the back or pushback. But I'm back to that T-shirt. They provoke me. Maybe I provoke them. I don't know if that's really the right biblical thing to do. But, hey, it's what I'm doing. Okay. And just, I mean, how lost can they possibly be? So everyone on The View, which I do not watch, I have no use to watching this gaggle of women who, to a right-thinking real man, they couldn't attract with a $100 bill taped to their forehead. There's some guy by the name of Bowen Yang. I don't know who he is. I don't watch Saturday Night Live. Apparently he does the J.D. Vance impersonation. And I guess he was on the program the other night. And the place went wild when this Yang, or what's her name? Is that his name again? Yeah, Yang. Yang called J.D. Vance a Pope killer. And he's cracking up while he says it. The audience bursts out laughing and because, well, all right, Vance was one of the last people to actually meet with Pope Francis. He was speaking to, as I have historically called him, Poop Francis, but I'll call that off now that he's dead. Just the day before his death, but it was the meeting that the Pope had planned with certain people was called off, and then but he did have to meet with J.D. Vance, which was in fact his last personal meeting. And Pope Francis, the talking mule, he was a really vocal critic of Trump. I mean, he hated him. He hated the deportations, the climate change thing. I mean, the Pope was a loser on so many levels. I'm not convinced the guy actually would have recognized a Bible in a Christian bookstore. But, of course, I say that with all due respect. But anyway, the official cause of his death was a stroke, which sent the Pope into a coma and a heart failure and then sent him to his destiny that is awaiting him. And we don't need to speculate any further on that. However, the point of bringing this out is obviously he didn't kill the Pope. We know that. He was the last person who saw him. J.D. Vance is a Catholic. He went there to honor the guy. Probably one of the areas that I disagree with J.D. Vance and with Trump attending the funeral. But whatever, I guess you do what you got to do in some of those cases. But it said here, and I want to quote, the quip resulted in an immediate eruption into laughter and applause as the women at the table of The View tried to collect themselves. Moderator Whoopi Goldberg needed a moment to turn away from the table and laugh while Sarah Haynes grabbed her mug and briefly hid behind it before then exclaiming, quote, there's our new headline. What? J.D. Vance killed the Pope. Now, I realize she's joking, but understand, they've never needed the truth to try to make an issue of something. The truth is a stumbling block on the way to achieving their agenda. The truth is nothing but a speed bump to indoctrinate people outside of the rules of law and the Constitution. Well, does it get worse? Yeah, I'm afraid it sort of does. So we have this Alan Schoenfield. He's a lawyer hired by Montgomery County, Maryland, who is hired to defend their agenda to pick out really explicit sex books and queer books and force the children as young as 3 or 4 years old to study them. That's their law. It's mandatory. We're going to indoctrinate. We're going to apparently try to create as many queers as we possibly can so that the ones we have don't feel so bad and guilty of their sin. I don't know what else could be the purpose. Certainly not gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care is when I tell my grandson, you are a boy, and you're going to be a man, and you're going to be God's man, and you're going to be a strong man, and you won't have to apologize for anything other than being, let's say, rude or impolite in situations. When you do wrong, you're going to apologize. That's what a real man does. So I'm affirming your gender right now. God has called you to be a man of God. That is gender-affirming care. Well, anyway, this Alan Scofield got real triggered, guy defending the sex books being forced down the throats of the 3 and 4 year olds. And this is before the Supreme Court. It's a case. Now, I find this really interesting. This is what happens when things get so sick, sorry, and sad in some places that the result is this. The lawsuit was brought by a group of Muslim, Christian, and Jewish parents against a district's decision to force this indoctrination on the kids and to refuse parents a right to opt out of this ridiculously ungodly offensive material. You've heard me say this a gazillion times, but that passage about Jesus said it's better to have a millstone tied around your neck and be cast in the depths of the sea than to offend or lead astray one of these little ones. Oh my gosh. There's not a lot of talk about the degrees of hell, but Jesus just gave us in that a glimpse of one of the hellish categories by saying you're better off going to the bottom of the ocean with a rock, a millstone tied around your neck, knowing you're going to your death and you can't do anything about it, and you're going down, 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 where it just gets darker and darker and darker, and then you're dead. Jesus said, you're better off doing that than to lead one of these little ones astray. So just what do you think spiritually, eternally is in store for the Montgomery County School Board in Maryland? Oh, boy. Yeah, boy. Yeah, 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 yeah. So these Muslim, Christian, and Jewish parents, okay, go indoctrinate whatever you want to indoctrinate, but let us get out of the classes. Well, there is no opt-out. The district allows for opt-outs for all sorts of other objectionable subjects, but they refuse to allow parents the same rights to get out of this queer crapola. So, interesting, this lawyer gets in a tizzy representing the school district, and Neil Gorsuch, praise God for him, he brings up, he said, oh, there's got this story called Pride Day and Pride Puppy, that the family celebrates Pride Day when their dog gets lost. So in the story, the readers are to hunt for and identify different items with letters of the alphabet, but it incorporates the words that promote the LGBT agenda. So Gorsuch brings this up, and Schoenfield says, Pride Puppy was used for pre-kindergartners, but it no longer is. Then Gorsuch said, well, that's the one where they're supposed to look for the leather and things in bondage, things like that, Gorsuch said. Schofield says, it's not bondage, it's a woman in leather. It's a drag queen. Oh, my gosh. And they're trying to defend that. Get your kids out of the Montgomery school system. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, Cat Mother and the All Night Newsboys. Off from, I think, the only album they ever made, but I bought it. Okay, so there's a guy who was an official in Tim Walz's government, and he got caught vandalizing and scratching a bunch of Teslas. And so the Minnesota prosecutor, we're back to Minnesota, this one of the most screwed up states ever, but we're not going to leave Washington out. They're coming up here in a minute. So said she did not want to bring felony charges against a state official. This guy's an official of the state of Minnesota who was caught vandalizing a bunch of Teslas. Six, to be exact. The reason was due to public safety concerns and recidivism rates. Now, I'm not scratching a Tesla. I'm scratching my head. Like, what is this ding-a-ling talking about? Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty, a dedicated left-wing, throw whatever noun you want in there after that adjective. Said that she did not want to bring felony charges, even though he caused more than $21,000 in damages to the Teslas. She said, quote, if the defendants go through the traditional system and they have a felony conviction on their record, they are much more likely to come back and commit a new crime. That is because a felony conviction destabilizes their lives. They may lose their job, lose their housing, and it can just lead to future criminal activity, end quote. This is what this mindless, brain-dead Mary Moriarty is saying. We can't charge a state official with a felony conviction because it might destabilize his life. He might lose his job. Duh, you think? They might lose their housing. It can lead to future criminal activity. What she apparently is saying is this. We don't want to charge anybody with a felony that's actually doing something that I like because it may lead to these things. Oh, my gosh, it might lead to them committing more felonies. So is the answer, Mary baby? You don't want to or nor can you ever bring a felony charge? Nobody gets to pay for their crime because they might lose a job? Duh. It might destabilize their life. They're already destabilized if they're voting for Biden and hate Trump and are vandalizing Teslas. They lose their housing. So what? Leads to future criminal activity? I'll tell you what leads to future criminal activity, Mary. I cannot even believe you're a prosecutor. What leads to future criminal activity is not bringing charges against the criminal activity that stands before you. Let them go. That tells them it's okay. Go scratch 12 Teslas. Go scratch 20. Firebomb 35 of them. If they're not going to be held responsible. You don't bring felonies, apparently, against Democrats. So the police released footage of the suspect, who is Dylan Brian Adams, a fiscal policy analyst for the state's Department of Human Services. Videos appear to show the suspect scratching and writing on the Teslas, mirroring a trend of attacks on vehicles stemming from anger toward the vehicle company CEO Elon Musk's politics. Yeah. So you're not going to bring federal, you're not going to bring felony charges because now they will be called a felon. We don't want anybody, well, let's just not bring murder charges. Let's not bring rape charges. Let's not, because we don't want anybody to be called a felon because it might destabilize their life. They might lose a job. Well, guess what? If they're in prison where they ought to be, Mary, they don't have a job anymore except making license plates for 9 cents an hour. This stupidity of the left is just, it's just mind-boggling. Okay, I don't want to leave the state of Washington out. No. We got to bring these guys in here for something really special because the state of Washington is so far left. It's just, if the earth was flat, they would have fallen off by now. So they want to pass a bill called, quote, an act relating to dignity and pregnancy loss, end quote. And what the bill does, they try to cloak this in terms like, if you've lost a child, then, you know, you've had a miscarriage or something at the hospital. Why does that have to go on any kind of public record? Why should people know that you had a miscarriage? It might be stigmatizing. That's not what it does. That's not what this bill does. That is a smokescreen and a cloakscreen because at the heart of the Washington Statute 9.02.050, that statute criminalizes the concealment of a child's death. Washington Statute 9.02.050 criminalizes, you can't have a child die and not tell the authorities. That's what the statute says. This bill eliminates that law. So it would no longer be illegal, would no longer be criminal to conceal a child's birth. So the removal here of this statute opens the door, of course, to infanticide because it could now be carried out without any fear of legal consequence, which is, as this one article says, it's very relevant in cases involving trafficking, coercion, or domestic abuse, which the killing of a child that you don't want was domestic abuse, a botched abortion, killing it, domestic abuse. The organization, the ACLJ, says, quote, by decriminalizing the concealment of the remains of a child who was born alive but then died is then nothing short of the legalization of infanticide. And it also, going on here, it cancels a coroner's jurisdiction to investigate the death of an infant after a botched abortion. Specifically, the bill strikes a key phrase from current law, removing the ability of the coroner to investigate where death results from a known or suspected abortion. So, if there's a known or suspected abortion, but the bill now legalizes the concealment of a child's birth, there's no way to know whether there was a known or suspected abortion. This, you know, I named last week's program, and I'm disappointed that the listenership was so light for this one. It was called It's True, Satan is a Democrat. He absolutely is. He's animated the party. He's in charge of it. He is the party chairman. And the yin-yangs at the head of it are simply channeling things from the pit of hell. Does it stop there? No, it doesn't stop there. Bob Unruh, who is a great writer with WorldNet Daily, had a piece that titled Democrats Go Potty Mouth to try to win back voters that they've lost. He says the Democrat Party has decided, apparently, that going potty mouth, cursing, swearing, being crude and vulgar is an excellent strategy to win back voters that they've lost. He says even leftist publications are noting the development. And I can't give you the examples because none of these examples belong on the air. I can't say them. You know the word that begins with S, right? S talking is Democrats' new strategy, said CNN. PBS had from its far-left agenda said that what the blankety-blank-blank, Democrats are swearing more. Democrats. And here's why. And Adam Schiff, I'm a good Democrat. So my view, of course, is that when they go low, we go high, and we go tell him to F himself. That's going high, Adam. Are you standing on your head? Do you have a dizzy spell? Do you have some issues with some arteries and things going through your head? I'm a good Democrat, so my view, it's a quote, of course, is that when they go low, we go high, so he can go F himself. Yeah. That same report described Democrats' language as increasingly turning to a jarring choice of words with increasing profanity. And that for a party that has long touted itself as the adult in the room, in comparison to the freewheeling Trump and his MAGA acolytes, this is rather strange. Yeah. So you got Tim Walz, brain death on steroids. He claimed back in 2024 that he could kick most of the asses of Trump supporters. I think it's okay for me to say that. That's what he said. I'm quoting a candidate for vice president. Joe Biden made a similar claim about President Donald Trump earlier. Tina Smith, Minnesota Democrat, keeps using the D word and the A word, which you can figure out there. Jasmine Crockett. She is entirely fascinated with F-bombs. Like I said, they really only got a 10 or 11-word vocabulary. And when they're done, they can say the same stuff over, but louder, and then louder. And to show you how brilliant they are, they finish it off with a plethora of F-bombs. So Bob goes on to say here that beyond just the gutter language, the report showed that sharing jokes and memes that wish for the suffering of Trump supporters is simply mainstream. That many Democrats, according to this report, are now purposefully injecting profanity into their vocabulary in an attempt to sound authentic. Isn't that interesting? I got to use the F-bomb so that people know that I'm really sincere. I got to take the Lord's name in vain, which Joe Biden did, to show people that I really mean it. I mean it so much I'm going to cuss like a sailor. And then the Tampa Free Press came out and said that Democrats are at the point where they think swearing like a drunken sailor actually will help them. And then the Hill said, F-bombs away, why lawmakers are cursing now more, a story from the Hill. So, am I too far off from last week? It's true. Satan really is a Democrat. Well, I'm going to come back to somebody who is not profane, but they're evil. And they actually might just be stupid as well. But our Justice Ketanji Jackson. Okay, this woman's a dork. This is the one, of course, as you recall, was unable to tell a senator what is a woman. Well, I'm not sure she is. Who knows? I guess only she knows. Maybe she doesn't know herself what she is. So we're back to this Maryland school board fight, which is over a school's decision to teach sexually deviant behaviors to children as early as 3 and 4 years old, and then not allow parents to opt their kids out of those classes. And this woman is getting vilified, if not crucified, which in this case, a crucifixion she deserves. The requirement was these books are mandatory. So one writer says, like the dog returning to his vomit. You know that's from the Bible. So Justice Jackson returns to this idea by saying, quote, we don't know that these books aren't just sitting on the shelves. See, nobody has said they were sitting on the shelves. Nobody made that pitch. She said, how do we know they aren't just sitting there doing nothing, and why should we do this? Why should we have an injunction against us? If there's a possibility, we don't know they just aren't sitting there on the shelves. Prove to me, how do you know for a fact there isn't a McDonald's on the moon? That's the kind of statement she's making here. The problem is, as brought right before her, the Montgomery County Public School policy could not be clearer. The kids must be taught these books. So Red State, which is stating that, you know, she's a reliable left-wing vote, she's a yin-yang from the left, she says, quote, there's no level of partisanship she won't stoop to in order to defend a Democrat viewpoint. And that was on display again in recent oral arguments surrounding parental rights. While a majority of the court seemed to be leaning toward affirming the obvious right that parents have to pull their kids out, Jackson showed that she's either the dumbest or the most evil member of the court, and maybe the dumbest or most evil member ever. I'm not going to be so kind. She can be both. It's not one or the other. It could be both, dumb and ridiculously evil. It pointed out that she was not even aware of the fact that the fight is over the school district's actions, which require the books to be taught. She argued that, you know, they just might be sitting on the shelves. So why do we have to be so concerned? Oh, my gosh. deliver us, God, from these kinds of judges. As it says, and I think it's in Isaiah chapter 1, God, bring us and give us the judges as we had at first. Those who understood the word of God realized that much of our law was premised and based upon the interpretation of Scripture, and that Scripture was in fact authoritative. Not with this gal. So, one last thing here before I have to conclude with something I need to say about Donald Trump. But from the Constitutional Rights PAC, they were stating that this week on The View, Whoopi Goldberg and her co-host mocked the idea of giving American mothers a $5,000 bonus, calling it insulting and even suggesting it was racially motivated. Jeez. So a proposal to help hardworking moms to ease the cost of rent, after-school care, and basic family needs is being ridiculed on national television by leftist elites who are wildly out of touch with the real struggles of everyday Americans. They don't understand how real families live. They don't understand sacrifice. They certainly don't respect solutions that come from outside their political bubble. End quote. And what I have to say about this is no one has suggested that there be a baby bonus. This is all brand new. Well, it's new to the U.S. They actually have it. I think the Soviet Union, I think, has it. And maybe a couple of Scandinavian countries where they've just slaughtered too many unborn, and the only ones that got to replace them are the Muslims that want to rape the blonde women. So the fact is, here in this country, Trump came up with it. He absolutely did come up with it. A good idea, bad idea, I'm not so crazy about it, but I'm not here to argue the merits or demerits of it. What amazes me is that what they are suggesting, even though no Democrat has come up with this, they're jealous that Trump came up with it, instead of giving him credit for coming up with something that nobody else has come up with, they're criticizing him because it doesn't go far enough. $10,000, $20,000, wouldn't be, if Trump's got his name on it, we hate it because we hate him. Oh my gosh, it's just unbelievable. Last thing, I have said before that if Donald Trump does something wrong, I'm going to call him out. I love his speech the other night in Macomb County, Michigan, my home state. A great speech. He's back. He's back on the circuit, and I love it. But I've said this before, but I have to bring out something. This is an issue with his personality, not with his policies. Policies, 100%. The personality, I don't mind, except for when he doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. He's not the apprentice here. And he can't, there's no reason when the Philadelphia Eagles come to visit him at the White House, he has to go off ripping Taylor Swift. What's the point? Who is won over by that? Or why does he got to go off skewering NFL coaches and owners for not picking Shedeur Sanders in the draft in the first, second, or third round? Who does he win over? Why does he have to wade into those cesspools? Why does he have to call Jerome Powell, quote, a major loser? What is gained by that stuff? There are just times I wish I could say to him, Donald, shut up. You got the policies. Don't ruin it with these screwball things coming out of your mouth, which you don't have to say. They gain you nothing. Because the fact of the matter, he's going on and on about how, you know, he and Putin are getting along, and Putin just stuffed him on the Ukraine. Putin just played Trump like a fiddle because he wouldn't shut up and he had to talk about how great everything was going with Vladimir. And they aren't going great. Putin just says, oh, yeah, sure, comrade. And then get done talking with Trump and he goes, unleashes the biggest bomb attack on the Ukraine in the entire war. And Trump looks like a moron. Why? Because he shot his mouth off unnecessarily. Donald, quit trying to be a hero all the time and everything. Taking credit for something that actually isn't done yet. And I'm going to have to just finish with this. Trump's big mouth cost Canada a conservative prime minister. Yeah, they don't like the tariffs, but the tariffs could be equalized. That wasn't the biggest deal. Is when he started talking the stupid stuff about making it the 51st state, which I said before, knock it off. If I were Canadian and an American president said, I'm going to make you our 51st state, I'd flip that president the middle finger. The conservatives had it in the bag. It was a runaway. Trump is singularly responsible for the return of a leftist government ruling Canada on our northern border. All and totally preventable, unnecessary. Don't do it, Donald. Learn from Scripture that the tongue is a mighty force for evil, setting on fire, as it says in the New Testament, the course of nature. And that is set on fire of hell. The tongue is an unruly member. Something I probably need to learn about two-thirds of the time on the program, because maybe I go overboard. But I'm also not president. And I'm not, if I'm speaking the truth, the fact that I get a little carried away, if it's the truth, I don't have a problem. I really don't. But there's no need to dig into Taylor Swift, call Jerome Powell a major loser, blast the NFL. There's nothing compelling you to do that or to demand acquiescence to the policy and an idea that Canada become the 51st state. The Canadians just told Donald Trump to stuff it. Now, maybe this whole thing somehow comes out all right. I'm not really sure how that would. Maybe this Canadian prime minister, I can't think of his name right now, he's a global elitist. The worst thing about him is he's a global elitist. Is he the leftist as far as social policies that Trudeau was? I don't think that he is. I don't think, but I don't know that for sure. All I know was that they had a chance at a born and bred conservative, and Trump cost them that election. Yeah, it was all about Trump's forcing his will on the Canadian people. So maybe we can learn from this, maybe I can learn from this, that tongue is an unruly member. It sets on fire a course of nature which is set on fire of hell, quoting the Bible. It brings about unnecessary self-imposed mistakes, unnecessary mistakes, unnecessary errors, and we pay for it. Donald, that's the only thing I got going against you right now. Everything else you're doing, man, is great. Just don't blow the excellence of your policies with the knee-jerk comments from your mouth. Let somebody else do that talking for you. Hey, God bless you. Remember, sit tall in the saddle, America, because you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. And we will see you next week.